I, James, founded and work for HPI, but do not represent them or any of their opinions.
Welcome to Season 8, Episode 310 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is Rocktober the, 31st, 2017. Every week we definitively answer one question about the future of tech. To do that, we take into account many factors, including the companies involved with the work for them, their marketing campaigns, and of course, the technology they're developing. I'm Matthew Dean Furlough, and pre-ordering his iPhone 10 is my brother, James Furlough.
Boom, locked and loaded, and I only got to wait 2 to 3 stinking weeks to get my phone. Here's what kills me.
So, tell me.
Thursday night rolls around. I stay up. I choose. I'm not sleeping. I'm just going to watch the West Wing, and I'm going to wait this out.
Yeah.
So, midnight hits. And I'm just like, all right, hit the app store, start reloading. Cause I did the pre thing, right? Like I had already registered, yeah. Had already filled out my phone, had already confirmed my, my carrier, had already gotten pre-approved, the silver 256, whatever the big one, you know,
nice.
X, by the way, in case you didn't know that. And so, so I'm ready to rock, but I got to go through the app store, right? Okay. 1201, 1202, 1203, 1204, at which point I am now freaking out because I've been refreshing this thing about every 25 seconds.
Yeah.
Now granted, I'm still watching the West Wing on my iPad as I'm refreshing it. So it's not all lost. But I'm just like, come on. 1205, 1206, 1207, 1208. I'm just like, I am flipping out at this point, going, man. I hope the rest of the world is done. So I shut down Netflix on my iPad, throw up Safari, throw up the Apple Store, go to it. It's down. Where was I at? 1210, 1211. They can't have 1210. 1210, 1211. I'm like, the Safari works. The App Store doesn't. I'm like, all right. I go to the iPhone thing and it, you know, it says sign in. I sign in. It goes, oh, you've already pre-done your thing. Go to the App Store. I'm like, no! 1213, the Apple Store finally works. It pops up. I go, cool. Dun-dun-dun-dun. It took me 5 seconds, maybe. Yeah. Super, super efficient. 2 to 3 weeks. Apparently, and I instantly, you know, I'm fuming, right? First world problem, fuming right now. And so I go online and I'm like, I go to Mac Daily News. I'm like, okay, like, help me out here. Where am I at? Turns out the East Coast servers turned on a little sooner than the West Coast servers. So those ones turned on at 1204, and that was just enough to tip the scales out of my favor. But I don't feel too bad because John Gruber was in the same boat as me. And I figure, you know what? If he's got to wait 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, if John Gruber doesn't get a pass.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the other guy I follow, MG Siegler, just so happened to be in New York, so he's getting his on Friday. I'm just like, these guys who I don't know but follow. But so my review might be in December. We'll see. Hopefully November.
Yeah. Well, it's just, so this actually brings us to like kind of the topic of today, an interesting move. So Guy Hirsch of TechCrunch, he wrote a pretty good article, and I'm just going to read for you the first couple of paragraphs and kind of go from there. Samsung's competition with Apple is on premium phones, $400 plus market share. And Apple is crushing Samsung in this market. Other market share metrics don't really matter all that much because the simple fact that, according to Counterpoint, Apple dominated the global profit share of mobile phones, holding 65% of the global profits and just 9% of the total handset shipments.
That's a good ratio.
Yeah, exactly. 2017. That is an amazing ratio. Counterpoint also reports that over the summer of 2016, Apple was spending just over 50% of the global premium smartphones. Samsung was selling just under 25%. By December 2016, those numbers had grown to 70% and 17% respectively.
So let me make sure I understand this. So total handsets sold, Apple sold 9% of them.
Right.
But when you just look at premium phones, which is defined as $400 plus, Apple's selling 70% of them.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
And then, and consequently, of the entire smartphone market.
There's probably an algebraic way to figure out some sort of math metric on how big they think the premium smartphone market is, but I'm not that smart right now.
Yeah. But they, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
All right. So, and the point is not only is Apple selling the majority of it, but that majority is growing. It was 50% last year, and this year it's 70%.
Right. Now this is where it's even crazier. Samsung spent an astonishing $10 billion on marketing in 2016. And while it doesn't report how much of it was spent on marketing its premium phones, it was likely in the billions.
Wait. This is 2016?
Samsung, yeah. They're reporting how much they spent in 2016.
Okay. And these numbers are 2016.
Yeah.
Okay. The year their batteries blowing up.
Yeah. So, well, no. So it's, yeah. Well, December 2016 was a before. Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. And probably more than that was spent on, and probably more than what Apple has spent globally. So
Samsung spent $10 billion in marketing, most of which they think was on their premium phones. And also more than what Apple spent.
Right. So why is Samsung premium phone market share shrinking? Why do consumers with discretionary spending still prefer Apple in such large numbers? And I think it'd be really easy as guys who both bought the latest Apple iPhones to simply jump to the statement of, well, it's because it's a better phone.
Yeah, that's pretty easy. All right. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the...
don't forget our sponsor.
Sponsored by Apple.
Yeah, right.
Don't eat candy, kids. Eat an apple.
But I think it's worth taking the view, at least temporarily, that Samsung makes phones that are as good as the iPhones. Especially, you know, or that, and I actually believe this, that for most people, either one, you're fine. You know, maybe there's edge cases that the iPhone is much better for a particular audience, or the Samsung phones are much better for a particular audience. But for most people, most of the time, both Samsung and Apple's products are good enough for most people. You know what I mean? So why is it that Apple is dominating so much? I think throwing out the Samsung was exploding in customers in 2016 is worth bringing up as a possible explanation, but this has been a thing that's been going on for a long time. I mean, quite legendarily, Apple at one point was making 100%+ of the iPhone or profits in the smartphone market, as everybody else was losing so much money that by that when you balance the money that other companies were losing with the money that Apple was making, they actually took 100% of the overall,
which is insane,
market.
Yeah, and even before the batteries, I mean, Apple was clearly at over 50% there. So
right. So this is,
and then it was, and then it was just after the batteries, it shot up to 70% for, again, pretty good reason.
Yeah, and Samsung had premium phones that would
totally
comparable to Apple phones during those periods. So what's the difference?
Yeah, you know, that's funny. And I mean, and I find myself saying, if I was in the Android camp, I'd probably get a Pixel, not a Samsung. But that's, I don't know. There's something about, like,
not this year.
Well, okay, fine. Once they figure out their whole screen burn-in issue, there's something about, I made some snobby statements this week, and I was telling Jesse, I'm like, you want to hear some snobbery? Here it comes. So this is still it. There's something about the Samsung screen. It's almost too cartoony for me, or like too, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like too vibrant. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm like, vibrant in a, like, the colors are like, they're not realistic. You know what I'm trying to say? It's like, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
it's
really.
Like, it's almost too, like, I want to say psychedelic in the sense that, you know how they use really bright colors and it's in your face. It's almost trying, like that.
They're trying to show off the gamut of their OLED screens, I think is what you're getting. They're picking
well, the color gamut. Too gamut-y.
Well, yeah, which is interesting. Well, I'd say what's interesting to me is that Apple right now is they've picked screen savers that will show off a true tone screens that are designed to always look exactly the same, which means that sort of which polishes off the edges of the largest gamut that the screen can actually perform at, in order to give them the ability to adjust within that range and keep the colors the same in all lighting.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
But I agree with you. You know, functionally comparable phones. I would probably be just as happy with a Samsung as I am with an iPhone if I was an Android user. You know, they take good photos. They're good Android devices.
Yeah, and so this TechCrunch article, it goes on to posit, and I think there is some truth to this, and I can only discuss it more. But the reason is not the product, as he goes. Apple has a state-of-the-art, the reason for the wide gap in the premium handset market share lies elsewhere in sales and marketing innovation or lack thereof.
Now we've stepped into my dojo.
That's all what right. I'm saying. So Apple does some stuff differently.
So he's saying it's not just about the devices. It's about how they sell the devices and how they promote the devices. By the way, here's my other, okay, I'm going to go here. It's a snobby pet peeve. People use the word marketing all the time. Like, oh, this is the way they market the devices. No, it's the way they promote the devices. Okay. Marketing is not advertising. Marketing is a study of the customer. Promotion and advertising is what you're talking about. Commercials are advertising. Sorry. Had to get that off my chest. I was talking to a lot of people and they go, oh yeah, that's how I market. I'm like, no, it's the wrong use of the word. Sorry. That was my marketing snob coming out.
Well, I appreciate that because it's actually very interesting that you would bring that particular annoyance up as one of the arguments that they make, and this is something is so Angela Arendes. She is the new, she's not new anymore. She's the one that's going to take over for Tim Cook eventually.
Dude, future CEO. I could see that.
She's the next. Unless something goes really, really sideways, unless there's a scandal or something, she's the next CEO.
She gets it. It's a lifestyle.
Exactly. And so she's in charge of, for those that don't know, she's in charge of the marketing. And if you pay attention to the one thing that Steve Jobs always warned against, it's the marketing guys eventually take over the company and ruin it. And she's
He said the sales guys.
Oh, fair enough. That's
he was point. Very specific.
You know what? That's a good
See,
point.
See, a marketing person, again, this comes back to what I'm saying. A marketing person is someone who understands the customer. I think you'd be very okay with a marketing person taking over the company. A salesperson, that's a different story. See, marketing is about the customer. Sales is about the company.
Some would argue that all Steve Jobs was a marketing guy. That's incredibly incredibly unfair at the same time.
Yeah. I would agree.
So she's in charge of Apple's marketing.
The stores, right? Or is it more than that?
It's kind of the whole stack. Like,
wait, what does Phil Schiller do? Is it either VP of marketing? I don't know. Yeah, who knows, right?
I'm not sure Apple knows at this point. But they
used to present new products. Yeah, I don't know.
He just goes out there. So Angela was up on stage at the 10 announcement and the 8 plus announcement. For those of us who got the notchless phone.
The notchless phone. By the way, people are finally realizing what I've been saying since the beginning, that the iPhone 8 Plus is actually a bigger screen than the iPhone X screen.
Yeah.
Like people have finally like figured out how to do math and go, wait, there's actually less screen area, even though it's longer. Like, yeah, thank you. Welcome to the world of math.
I know.
I had arguments with people. We're like, no, it's bigger. Like, yeah, it's longer.
The diagonal. It's bigger. Across the diagonal. That's
like, so it's bigger. I'm like, no. From the your screen viewable area, it's smaller. Yeah.
The number of pixels is smaller. They're same size pixels, but there's a smaller number of them makes the smaller screen.
Oh, it's great.
Anyways.
Great. People are coming around.
It's a very nice screen. I'm not saying it's not a nice screen.
I got one.
It is smaller than my screen. So She's doing all sorts of innovative stuff in there. She's been changing around things with the employees. She's been making a really big push to make sure that the Chinese stores are just as great as the North American and European stores. But one of the things that they get into is this idea that Apple's always been about own the whole stack, own everything.
Totally.
There's a story in this in BuzzFeed News did a expose on Angela Arendt's. And one of the things they talk about is how Johnny Ives was like obsessed with the idea of like, whatever you do to the stores, don't change the tables, because the tables that we design on are the same that we have in our design studio are the same tables that are in the Apple store, which means we design them on these tables. They're designed for these tables. Please sell them on these tables. And, and getting into,
I can get behind that.
Let me say, but there's this idea that they, because they own the whole stack, that there's this real imperative when you sell it, it's as important as when you design it, that there's consistency through the entire process. That's the logic. But the other cool part about it is because they're a super high tech company and they're working on state of the art things like artificial intelligence and machine learning, they can do some really innovative stuff on that front too. Things that Samsung struggles with because their advertising and marketing budgets go into advertising and promotion, whereas Apple spends a lot of money internally saying, what actually leads to more sales? What leads to better customer service? You know, there's been this growing cadence over the years of the fact that nobody lines up at the Apple stores anymore for the launch of phones. So they're obviously not selling as well. Whereas Angela Arendt sits there and says, that's terrible customer service. People standing in line for hours. Are you kidding me? That makes us look good, but it's miserable for the customers. We want a situation where there are no lines ever, where they can, and there are some complaints actually amongst the staff that they are being encouraged to get people in, get them out as quickly as possible, because it's the waiting that makes people miserable. And they're like, oh, it's so corporate now. This used to be such a cool hangout place, which I think she would say, if they want to hang out, let them hang out. But if all they want to do is run in and buy a thing, get them out of there as quick as possible. Because that is what most customers want. Is they know what they want, or they want help. Give them what they need as efficiently as possible so that they get what they want and they run out quickly.
That's an interesting thought process of people having to stand in line it's actually a bad thing. It was fun the first couple of rounds, but now it's like, dude, we're 10 years in. Come on.
Yeah. How do we figure out how to serve our customers better? Before we go too much further, James, I think it's time that we have our ad.
Let's do this.
So this week's episode is brought to you by All Saints Day.
All Saints Day.
November 1st, sometimes known as All Hallows Day, and then the evening before All Hallows Eve,
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's actually where it comes from. Halloween is a sort of a mashup of the word All Hallows Eve, which All Hallows Day was what All Saints Day was called back before, for whatever linguistics reason, those two things became completely different things.
I didn't know that.
That's where it comes from.
Huh.
And then the Dia de los Muertos, which is the like Day of the Dead celebrations that go on all over the place. Those are sort of that is the like All Saints Day pre-celebration. That's where that comes from. And then it's sort of like developed into whatever it is we do in America for eating candy and dressing up like Power Rangers or whatever.
My daughter will be a princess this year.
Nice.
And my son will be I kept calling him a Tigger, and Jesse was like, no, he is Hobbs. Let's get this right.
That's important. That's an important distinction.
Okay. Because he kind of has the Calvin hair that goes straight forward. So I'm in.
I feel it.
He's Hobbs.
We had a party last night. I went as Thor. Which is pretty great. It's funny.
Norse God of Thunder.
Yeah, it's just a t-shirt with a cape like that Velcro's on the back for like $20. So I was like, I'm totally wearing it to the movie next week. I'm so excited. Anyways, back to what we were talking about.
So do you think it really is just the fact? All right, so Apple's doing better because they're better at marketing, because of their stores, because it also sounded like in there you're also trying to say products are genuinely better because Apple spends part of their budget on making their products better. Well, a little bit of it all.
Well, I would say Apple spends most of their money trying to make their products better. But I think that they spend their money, their marketing and advertising money more intelligently and more effectively by owning the whole stack. And they describe the Apple stores as the hardware and the salespeople as the software. And by looking at it as these things that they own that allows them to, basically what ends up happening is you get to see the device in the best light. Literally, they designed the lighting of the stores to make them look the best. They sit where they were designed so that they look the best.
But once you take it out of the store, if it doesn't perform up, you know, like.
But the argument I'm making is that both phones, you would walk out of the store and you'd be both a flagship Samsung phone and a flagship iPhone. You get home, okay. Most people most of the time would be perfectly satisfied with both. So it's that sale. It's why we get, I mean, I like to think of myself as unique and special and that my needs are suited, and I'm making a decision based on my needs, that I'm one of the fringe cases that, no, I actually fully use the iPhone, so it makes sense. And which is, you know, it is what it is. But that's the point, is their marketing is designed to make you feel that way. Their promotion is designed to make you feel that way. They do market research to figure out how do we make people feel like, you know, this is what you need to have a good life.
Yeah, I feel like this is interesting because I feel like back when Jobs was running the show, the commercials were excellent.
Yeah.
Because they were customer focused. It was, why should I buy this product, right? They got away from speeds and feeds. I remember their first round of iPhone commercials, they were people standing there talking about the things that they could do with it.
Yeah.
And that was it. And everyone remembers the Mac versus a PC. I mean, not only was it just really well executed, but it was also, here's what you can do with it. You know, yeah. Absolutely none of it had to do with specs and materials and, you know, all that stuff. And they were fantastic. And I think they really resonated with people. I never understood the iPod commercials where it was the people, the silhouettes with the earbuds dancing to music. But I'm also not a music person.
To say, you're not somebody who, like, you don't go to concerts. You don't get swept up in the music thing, you know?
Yeah, totally. But it's interesting that all of their commercials have switched over to that style of, we're not going to explain anything to you. We're just going to show you people doing some cool stuff. Like the one guy in the, what is it? It's an Apple Watch plus Apple Music commercial where he's riding the skateboard in the train station, you know, and it's like, I happen to know what the product is. And obviously they flash up the logo and what it is at the end, but I'm also like this, like, how is this selling a watch? But it's not, I guess. I guess it's selling Apple Music. But part of the thing is like, now you can have it all on your watch. Yay. Which that's not even clear because they don't even tell you. Like, you have to know that walking into the commercial.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I will say this. A lot of their camera commercials have been really – those have been really effective on me. Like, there's been this building thing for me of, it's like, I actually am getting to a point where I want to take pictures more. And that was one of the big reasons why I decided – I'm going to upgrade is because I wanted a better phone for these trips that I'm taking. I want to be able to take better pictures. And they make you have this feeling of like, these people have these great lives and these great situations and everything's so cool. And you could be like this if only you could take pictures.
And like, you could be like this.
Exactly. And you know, it's a bit of the, all the smiling, beautiful people at a, casino pictures all laughing, and it's not old people smoking and spending all their money at
which is what it is when you go into a casino for realsies. Yeah,
a bit miserable. But that's,
what is, you know, it's funny, like I'm trying to think, I see more Apple commercials than Samsung. I've seen Samsung commercials. I see a lot of Pixel commercials.
And I think the Pixel commercials do a better job of sort of portraying that lifestyle, sort of, you know, this is how you live a good life. I think that's the big thing, is that it's about this message. It's sort of like the Coke commercials, where the summer Coke commercials are all about, you know, oh, summer, your summer youth is so beautiful with,
I know,
with the sunshine and young love and roller coasters and yeah, exactly. Or, you know, and then during the winter when it starts to get cold out, now all of a sudden it's polar bears and Christmas and family focus, but they're just lifestyle. They're just associate their product with an emotion.
So what's Samsung doing? They're just fighting a different battle, huh?
I think on the straight up promotional stuff, Samsung probably does a pretty good job. But one of the differences, Samsung doesn't have an internal promotions team. They don't have somebody inside that builds these things. They hire outside companies.
Really?
Their marketing. Yeah, that's one of the things they talk about in this.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they
really?
Yeah, they spend a lot of money and they don't quote control the stack. They don't have design guys that are designing the phones in parallel with the guys that are going to be advertising the phones.
Wow, that sounds like a very Samsung thing to do. That's a surprise.
Yeah. Whereas Apple, like they don't design a phone without understanding how they're going to market it first. They don't figure it out. And sometimes, I mean, like, and that was sometimes what Apple, what Steve Jobs is accused of being worst about, was that sometimes he'd figure out how they were going to promote the product before they figured out how to build it. And he would go insane if you didn't get the feature exactly perfect, because he had this image of what the promotional material was.
Yeah.
And,
that sounds about right.
But part of his genius, and I come back to it, is that, yeah, he also understood what the technology could be capable of. And as he got older, he got a much finer tune on that and realizing, okay, how hard can we push in order to get the message that we need to get across? But he understood primarily that the messaging was critical. That you need to be able to tell people and have them understand. I don't know. It's an interesting thing.
It is interesting. So Apple's kicking butts, taking names on the premium smartphone market.
It's really helpful that their phones don't explode. That really helps quite a bit.
And I really feel like they did go. I didn't feel like they did anything extraordinary. They probably did end up spending a few extra billion dollars on advertising and just kept doing their normal thing. But
if I'm going to be totally honest, it does feel like seeing that joke has lost its weight.
Oh,
They did a very good job of, and that's one of the things I was most fascinated. I was back when this happened, I remember talking about, that's what I was most interested in, is watching a Titan company like that figure out how do we go from this disaster PR thing to selling phones again next year and having people not worry about it. And they've done a good job of being like, no, we figured this out.
I wasn't concerned. I didn't care, but I was concerned that with the Pixel coming out and Samsung going through the battery explosion, like you could see a flip overnight
in
popularity, and that never happened. So I thought, as much as you can handle exploding batteries, in the long run, they handled it very well. In the short run, they handled it miserably.
Yeah,
well, but they were also kind of like chickens with their heads cut off.
Just
like,
oh my gosh, we're literally exploding. I can understand why they're a little bit.
We don't even know what to do. You cannot get on an airplane with our phone. I know,
that was the best. Was oh my gosh, getting on planes and having the people be like, if you have a Samsung phone, you can't have it. Like, it is one very specific model, the Note 7. Don't call them Galaxies. Don't call them Galaxy 7s. Don't call them Notes. The Galaxy Note 7. But it was just that was such a disaster. Oh. Samsung phones aren't allowed on the plane. It's like, why would you do that? You're killing us, guys.
That was bad.
Your whole lineup was going to blow up. Yeah, they did do a good job of coming back from that.
Yeah, and we'll see. Apple's making obviously a full court press on their iPhone X, as they should.
Yeah,
and they're gonna probably sell a couple units. They probably won't be able to make them fast enough
if they can supply them.
Yeah, which is an interesting issue all on its own. Well, man, that's interesting. Samsung and Apple continuing to spar, and I don't want to like. I don't want to simplify it too much to say, I guess there's something to be said for owning the stack and not owning it. There is something to be said for owning the stack and not owning it.
Yeah.
And Samsung's a conventional company. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I think they're showing that both could be successful. And the risk of that Apple takes is if they don't have the right leader, you can lose it fast.
Yeah.
And I know for me, it's like one of the big lock-ins has been, I've got a bunch of movies on iTunes, and now they've got out that Movie Connect thing, and it's like Disney and like five other companies all together. I signed up for it. I got five free movies out of the deal, and which was awesome. And they all transported over to iTunes, and all the other movies transported over to there. I didn't see if it was one for one, but it was pretty close. And so I was like, all right, well, that reason's a little less now. And I was able to link it up with Amazon Video. So now I have all those videos on my Amazon Video account now too. Nice. So, like I'm saying, there's a risk there where, if they misstep, if you take that we're going to be different route and you misstep, it could really hurt. Whereas Samsung going down the tested, tried and true path, granted they took a huge misstep, but you can recover. So that's interesting. Well, listeners, we got a question for you, and we would love it if you would leave a comment either on our webpage or on Facebook, whatever works for you. And that question is simply, which do you prefer, iPhone or Android? That's right. Let's light this up. And why? Yeah, add a little bit more. Why do you prefer Android? Is it really just marketing? Samsung? Is it really the marketing of Samsung? Or do you think there's a little bit more behind it?
I say, and if you don't mind unfairly attacking the other company, that'd be great.
Yeah. So with that, we want to say thank you for joining us. We really do appreciate it. You can check out the links. We've got a couple of them to this show on furloughbros.com/311. That's 311. You can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. And we want to say thank you to Guy Hirsch and Nicole Nguyen for writing great articles and which were the springboards for this conversation. This podcast is also sponsored by listeners just like you and All Saints Day. So with that, I am James Furlow, and my already outdated phone holding brother is Matthew Furlow. And so we will talk next time. Thank you.